Welcome to a new week and episode 271 of the New Life Spring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. How was your weekend? Here in Southern California, it's been gray and cool, which is fine with me because I know the heat of summer is just around the corner and I'm not a huge fan of the hot summers we have here in Southern California. So I'm enjoying the gray overcast as long as I can. Well, it's Memorial Day here in the U.S., so you might be hearing this on Tuesday if you typically listen on your drive to work or lunch hour or something else. But I know that many of you who listen are not here in the U.S., so I want to thank you for being here with me today. Today we begin Paul's letter to the Galatians. I'd like to give you just a bit of background, if that's okay with you. Paul had spent some time with these people on one of his earlier missionary journeys, and they had received him well. However, after he left them, some false teachers had come in who told them that Paul was not to be respected as an apostle, and they began teaching the Galatians that they had to follow the Jewish or Mosaic law, which undermined the freedom that belongs to those who believe in Jesus. So, in response to what was happening there in Galatia, Paul wrote this letter. This week, the translation of the Bible that we'll use is the easy-to-read version. Let's begin. Galatians chapter 1. Greetings from Paul, an apostle. I was chosen to be an apostle, but not by any group or person here on earth. My authority came from none other than Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Jesus from death. Greetings also from all those in God's family who are with me. To the churches in Galatia. I pray that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will be good to you and give you peace. Jesus gave himself for our sins to free us from this evil world we live in. This is what God our Father wanted. The glory belongs to God forever and ever. Amen. A short time ago, God chose you to follow him. He chose you through his grace that came through Christ. But now I am amazed that you are already turning away and believing something different from the good news we told you. There is no other message that is the good news, but some people are confusing you. They want to change the good news about Christ. We told you the true good news message. So anyone who tells you a different message should be condemned, even if it's one of us or even an angel from heaven. I said this before, now I say it again. You have already accepted the good news. Anyone who tells you another way to be saved should be condemned. Now, do you think I'm trying to make people accept me? No, God is the one I'm trying to please. Am I trying to please people? If I wanted to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the good news message I told you was not made up by anyone. I did not get my message from any other human. The good news is not something I learned from other people. Jesus Christ himself gave it to me. He showed me the good news that I should tell people. You have heard about my past life in the Jewish religion. I persecuted the Church of God very much. I tried to destroy his people. I was becoming a leader in the Jewish religion. I did better than most other Jews my own age. I tried harder than anyone else to follow the traditions we got from our ancestors. But God had special plans for me, even before I was born. So he chose me through his grace. It pleased him to let me see and know his son so that I could tell the good news about him to the non-Jewish people. I immediately prepared to do this work without asking for advice or help from anyone. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But without waiting, I went away to Arabia. Later, I went back to the city of Damascus. 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to meet Peter. I stayed with him 15 days. I met no other apostles, only James, the brother of the Lord. God knows there is nothing untrue in any of this. Later, I went to the areas of Syria and Cilicia. No one in any of Christ's churches in Judea had ever met me before. They had only heard this about me. This man was persecuting us. But now he's telling people about the same faith that he once tried to destroy. These believers praised God because of me. Galatians chapter 2. After 14 years, I went back to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. I went there because God showed me that I should go. I explained to them the message that I tell the non-Jewish people. I also met alone with those who were considered to be the leaders. I wanted to be sure we were in agreement so that my past work and the work I do now would not be wasted. Titus, who was with me, is a Greek, but these leaders still did not force him to be circumcised. We needed to talk about these problems because some who pretended to be our brothers had come into our group secretly. They came in like spies to find out about the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to make us slaves, but we did not agree with anything these false brothers wanted. We wanted the truth of the good news to continue for you. Those men who were considered to be important did not change the good news message I tell people. It doesn't matter to me if they were important or not. To God, everyone is the same. But these leaders saw that God had given me a special work, the same as Peter. God gave Peter the work of telling the good news to the Jews, but God gave me the work of telling the good news to the non-Jewish people. God gave Peter the power to work as an apostle for the Jewish people. God gave me the power to work as an apostle too, but for those who are not Jews. James, Peter, and John seemed to be the leaders, and they saw that God had given me this special gift of ministry, so they accepted Barnabas and me. They said to us, "We agree that you should go to those who are not Jews, and we will go to the Jews." They asked us to do only one thing, to remember to help those who are poor. And this was something that I really wanted to do. When Peter came to Antioch, he did something that was not right. I stood against him because he was wrong. This is what happened. When Peter first came to Antioch, he ate and associated with the non-Jewish people. But when some Jewish men came from James, Peter separated himself from the non-Jews. He stopped eating with them because he was afraid of the Jews who believed that all non-Jewish people must be circumcised. So Peter was a hypocrite. The other Jewish believers joined with him, so they were hypocrites too. Even Barnabas was influenced by what these Jewish believers did. They were not following the truth of the good news. When I saw this, I spoke to Peter in front of everyone. I said, "Peter, you are a Jew, but you don't live like one. You live like someone who is not a Jew. So why are you trying to force those who are not Jewish to live like Jews? We are Jews by birth. We were not born sinners, as we call those who are not Jews, but we know that no one is made right with God by following the law. It is trusting in Jesus Christ that makes a person right with God. So we have to put our faith in Christ Jesus, because he wanted to be made right with God. And we're right with him because we trusted in Christ, not because we follow the law. I can say this because no one can be made right with God by following the law. We Jews came to Christ to be made right with God, so it is clear that we were sinners too. Does this mean that Christ makes us sinners? Of course not, but I would be wrong to begin teaching again those things that I gave up. It was the law itself that caused me to end my life under the law. I died to the law so that I could live for God. I have been nailed to the cross with Christ, so I am not the one living now. It is Christ living in me. I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God. He is the one who loved me and gave himself to save me. I am not the one destroying the meaning of God's grace. If following the law is how people are made right with God, then Christ did not have to die." May God richly bless the reading of his word. Paul opens the letter by establishing that he is an apostle, chosen not by men, but by Jesus Christ himself and God the Father. Those are some pretty impressive bona fides, wouldn't you say? Paul's not doing this to impress them, but to answer the charges brought against him by those who made their way into the Galatian church, who were questioning his qualifications and his teaching. After this, Paul expresses his amazement that they have allowed themselves to be sidetracked to a different gospel or good news, such a short time after becoming believers. He says, "There is no other message that is the good news, but some people are confusing you. They want to change the good news about Christ. We told you the good news message, so anyone who tells you a different message should be condemned, even if it's one of us, meaning one of the apostles, or even an angel from heaven. I said this before, now I say it again. You have already accepted the good news. Anyone who tells you another way to be saved should be condemned. Now, other translations say cursed or anathema. Those are strong words. And I'm sure you noticed the part where Paul said, even if it's one of us who tells a different gospel, or even an angel from heaven. Folks, over the years, there have been, and there are now, people who try to change the good news. Many of them are great salesmen. They often bring a message of love and sunshine and prosperity. And they even sprinkle their message with snippets of scripture, the same as Satan did when he tempted Jesus in the desert. And then there's another popular message today that says, well, listen, there are many ways to interpret scripture. There really isn't an absolute truth. My truth is this. Maybe your truth is that. That's cool. Whatever your truth is okay. Well, I'm here to tell you that scripture is clear. There is no equivocation in the good news message. God's truth is absolute. Confusion only comes from Satan. God is the author of truth, not confusion. If you want to know the truth, spend time with God. Get to know what the scriptures say. Study them. Pore over them. Meditate on them. If you have questions, pray to ask for wisdom and seek godly guidance if need be. We have the benefit of over 2,000 years worth of literature to help us. If you're unsure of the teaching of one man or resource, use a variety of resources. I encourage you, use a variety of resources. Don't just listen to me. Don't only listen to your pastor. Don't only listen to that guy on TV. We live in an age where information is easy to get. Use that to your benefit. But with everything, use discernment. Anything that contradicts the teaching of Scripture is to be discarded. If you diligently search the Scriptures, you will be rewarded with a clear understanding of what the good news is. God wants you to use all the mental capacity that He gave you. Christianity is not about checking your intelligence at the door. As the author of all truth, as the creator of all that is, God is not afraid of your questions or doubts. There are answers, and God will reveal all that He wants you to know if you diligently seek Him. That's not to say that He'll reveal all the mysteries of the universe to you, because not everything is knowable to the finite human mind. But you can be sure that of the things that man can know, there are clear and absolute answers. That may be an unfashionable thing to say today, but there truly is black, and there truly is white. Comments? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 271. Or I encourage you also to tweet me at @SteveWeb_, and if you want me to see the tweet, be sure you put a hashtag of LifespringMedia, all one word. I sure hope you'll be back tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.